At LensCrafters, we value expertly tailored eye care, provide state-of-the-art eye exams, offer a wide assortment of designer brands and high-quality lenses, because everything we do at LensCrafters is for every sight that makes your life special. We offer 50% off lenses with frame purchase, shop in-store and online. Book your annual eye exam now on LensCrafters.com. LensCrafters, because sight. Eye exams are available at the independent doctor of optometry at or next to LensCrafters. Doctors in some states are employed by LensCrafters. Offer valid through April 2nd, 2023. See associate for details.
Today is Monday, October 19th. What to know about a surge in new COVID-19 cases around the U.S. and two devastating wildfires in Colorado, including the largest in state history. Also, why a top White House official is negotiating in Syria right now. Plus, what to expect from the World Series this week, Google's new feature requiring you to hum or whistle a song, and what travel is expected to look like next year. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. New coronavirus infections are climbing in nearly every state around the U.S. The country is now averaging more than 55,000 new cases every day. And that's about 60% more than this time last month. CNN looked at the average number of cases reported over the last week and found only Missouri and Vermont saw cases improve by more than 10%. On the opposite end of the spectrum, it found Connecticut and Florida are doing the worst. They've seen new cases rise by more than 50%. And as infections rise, hospitals have started getting overwhelmed again. Utah, Oklahoma, and Indiana have reported critical ICU bed shortages, with many hospitals having to divert patients elsewhere. New Mexico's governor said hospitalizations have gone up 101% this month. Two hospitals in Albuquerque are at or near capacity. And those are just a few examples. There are dozens of ICU bed shortages in pockets around the country. So some states are putting restrictions back in place. Just a couple of examples. In New Mexico, the governor ordered businesses that serve alcohol to close at 10 p.m. and is also limiting hotel capacity. In Kentucky, the governor said he told authorities to step up mask enforcement. And many states are requiring visitors from hotspots to quarantine for 2 weeks upon arrival. Of course, the CDC recommendations are still the same for everyone. Limit in-person gatherings, wear face masks, and wash your hands often. A UN arms embargo on Iran expired over the weekend. So what does that mean? Well, for the past 13 years, that embargo stopped Iran from being able to buy or sell foreign weapons like tanks and fighter jets. So now that's no longer in place. The expiration was expected. It was a term of a nuclear deal with world powers. And it's a big deal for Iran, since most of its military equipment dates back to the 70s. So the AP reports this lets the country get more advanced weapons from countries like Russia and China. But the U.S. is strongly against this. It's been trying to extend the arms embargo for months. But the U.N. has said the U.S. does not have the authority to change the terms of an international agreement, especially since America pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal a couple years ago. Still, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo warned that any country who does sell weapons to Iran will face penalties from the U.S. And already, U.S. sanctions have crippled Iran's economy. So now, even though the embargo has been lifted and Iran is happy about that, the country's leaders at least say they don't plan to go on a weapons buying spree. They're the first high-level discussions between the U.S. and Syria in more than a decade. The Wall Street Journal reports a top White House counterterrorism official, Kash Patel, went to Syria for hostage negotiations and has been working to free at least two Americans. Freelance journalist Austin Tice, who disappeared while reporting in Syria in 2012, and Maj Kamelmaz, a Syrian-American therapist who disappeared in 2017. It's believed they're both being held by Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. And both men's families say they believe they're alive, although Syrian officials have not offered proof. People familiar with the talks told the Journal that so far negotiations haven't gotten very far. The Assad regime is reportedly demanding the U.S. withdraw all troops from Syria first. And there are a few hundred American service members still stationed in Syria. But there is hope. The same Trump administration official was able to broker another deal in recent weeks that led to the release of two Americans being held in Yemen. So stay tuned. The presidential election is now just 15 days away. And of course, both candidates are pretty busy. President Trump is headed to Arizona today, Pennsylvania tomorrow, and North Carolina on Wednesday. His Democratic rival Joe Biden has not released as many details about his upcoming schedule, but his campaign has made it clear he's not slowing down now. Over the weekend, they both visited states they're trying to flip. President Trump was in Nevada yesterday, which hasn't voted for a Republican since 2004. And former Vice President Biden went to North Carolina, where no Democrat has won a presidential race since 2008. At President Trump's rally, thousands of supporters sat elbow to elbow inside a church, with most people not wearing masks. He talked a lot about the economy and warned that a Biden presidency would lead to further lockdowns. Biden held a drive-in rally, so social distancing wasn't as big of a concern. He promoted criminal justice changes to fight institutional racism and said President Trump has lied to the American people about COVID-19. By the way, former President Barack Obama is also planning to hit the campaign trail in support of his old VP this week. He's headed to Philadelphia tomorrow, which will be Obama's first in-person campaign event of the year. Right now, Colorado is dealing with two massive, fast-moving wildfires. Let's start with what's being called the Cameron Peak Fire. It's been burning in Larimer County around Fort Collins since August. And over the weekend, it became the largest wildfire in Colorado history. It's now burned 200,000 acres, or about 320 square miles. That's larger than the entire area of New York City. And 3,000 people who live nearby have been forced out of their homes. But firefighters have been able to make some progress on it. The Cameron Peak Fire is now about 62% contained. Then, just about 50 miles southeast, there's the Cowwood Fire. And that one started burning in Boulder County on Saturday. Another 3,000 people are evacuated there. And in less than 2 days, it's burned more than 8,000 acres, or about 13 square miles, and dozens of homes have been destroyed. At last check, the Cowwood Fire is only 15% contained. The good news, though, with both of these fires, there haven't been any reports of injuries or deaths. And FEMA says it's helping pay for the cost to fight both of them. All right, we have more news coming up, but first let's take a quick break to thank our sponsor today. It is time to get cozy this fall with comfortable, washable, and sustainable products from Rothy's. The newest Rothy's styles include brand new bags, masks, and the return of their best-selling merino wool shoes made from a blend of their signature sustainable thread and their softest material ever. And I can vouch for these shoes. My first pair of Rothy's was a bright red pair of flats from the Merino Collection last winter. And I've loved them so much and have worn them so much that I've gone back for more. I bought another style and color of shoes, this time getting the bright white lace-up. And there are so many great options to choose from. And what I love most is that, yes, they're stylish and sustainable, but they're also the most comfortable shoes I own, with zero break-in period required. So check out all the amazing shoes and bags available right now at rothys.com/newsworthy. That's Rothys, R-O-T-H-Y-S, rothys.com/newsworthy. Style and sustainability meet to create your new favorites. Head to rothys.com/newsworthy today. Now, back to the news. It's official. The Tampa Bay Rays and the Los Angeles Dodgers are going to the World Series. Both teams secured their spots over the weekend. And with that, the World Series is slated to begin tomorrow in Arlington, Texas. Remember, all the games will be played there, which is a neutral site. That's to cut down on travel and keep players pretty well isolated during the pandemic. Fans will be allowed to attend. The league is selling about 11,000 tickets for each game, but that's less than 30% capacity. For fans who cannot go, the whole series will air on Fox. First pitch is tomorrow at 8:09 p.m. Eastern Time. Facebook has apparently rejected more than 2 million ads that were trying to interfere in the U.S. election. The company's vice president of global affairs told a French newspaper the ads were trying to obstruct voting. He also said Facebook pulled 120,000 posts for the same reason and put warning labels on 150 million others. It's Facebook's latest attempt to deal with election influence and misinformation. The company is also banning content that promotes certain conspiracy theories, and it'll block political ads after the polls close on Election Day. Still, critics are not sure if Facebook is doing enough. They say the social network still allows politicians to lie in ads until Election Day. And then there are other critics who accuse Facebook of censoring certain political views. Either way, the site has cracked down more since the 2016 election, and Facebook says it is committed to improvement. So if you have a song stuck in your head but can't remember the name, Google wants to help. All you have to do is hum or whistle the melody, and the search engine will populate songs that sound similar. You don't have to be a great singer either. Google says it can still identify songs even if you're off key. It just needs about 10 to 15 seconds worth of audio to work with. The new feature is available now. If you have Google Assistant, just say, "Hey Google, what's this song?" and then hum. You can also use it on the latest version of the Google app, whether that's iOS or Android. Just go to the search bar, hit the mic button, and say, "What's this song?" before humming. Airbnb has released a list of its top travel destinations for 2021. Most of them are in the U.S., since Airbnb is an American-based company, and the pandemic has caused international travel restrictions. People are also choosing spots that they can drive to, and ones that offer outdoor perks like skiing, hiking, or are close to the beach. So with that, some of the trending destinations for 2021 are Breckenridge, Colorado, Great Smoky Mountains, Tennessee, Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Palm Springs, California. Travelers are also seeking out unique Airbnb stays. For example, treehouses, yurts, and barns are getting more popular. And that's it for your main 10 minutes of news today, but now it's time for Money Monday, when we talk about one interesting money-related news story. And today we're talking about how bookstores across the country have been lashing out at Amazon and begging more people to shop local. The American Booksellers Association developed the campaign because it says at least one independent bookstore has closed since the start of the pandemic. And that's not because people are not buying books. Sales have actually jumped more than 6% this year compared to last year, but most of those purchases are going through major warehouses like Amazon. So the association is giving small businesses signs that say things like, if you want Amazon to be the world's only retailer, keep shopping there. The New York Times reports many are also offering curbside pickup and have ramped up efforts to ship books to customers. And in the most desperate cases, local bookstores are asking for donations. Then again, there are some small businesses who have joined forces with Amazon. In fact, Amazon says third-party sellers earned more than $3.5 billion during this year's Prime Day shopping event. That's up nearly 60% from last year and a record for small and mid-sized businesses. All right, thank you so much for listening today and every day. We'll be back with more news tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.